This morning, President Trump kicking off his high-stakes trip to Asia. Malaysia rolling out the red carpet, greeting the president with dancers, music, and fanfare. Trump heading straight from the tarmac to oversee the signing of a ceasefire agreement between Cambodia and Thailand after deadly clashes in July.
I'm proud to help settle this conflict and really develop good friendships.
The deal builds off a truce from 3 months ago and will free 18 Cambodian prisoners. Trump then signing trade deals with Cambodia, Malaysia, and a framework deal with Thailand, setting tariff rates at 19%.
The United States will have a robust commerce and cooperation, transactions, lots of them, with both nations as long as they live in peace.
After that, a meeting with Brazil's president. Tensions still simmering after Trump imposed staggering 50% tariffs on the country, citing its criminal charges against former president and Trump ally Bolsonaro. But today, Trump signaling those tariffs could come down.
Brazil is, we're gonna make a deal. I think we'll make a deal with Brazil. We get along very well.
Trump also expressing optimism about his upcoming meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
I think we're going to have a good deal with China, and they want to make a deal, and we want to make a deal.
And U.S. and Chinese officials have been meeting all throughout the weekend here in Malaysia, trying to hash out all of the details before Trump and Xi Jinping meet later this week in Seoul. Now, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says these talks have been constructive. They've covered everything from trade to rare earth minerals to TikTok.
Okay, that was a report from ABC News. And our president is now in Asia. I don't know how he does this. Does anybody know how he does this? How in the world does he continually travel? Does he move from culture to culture, problem to problem, and, just seemingly unflappable? It really is. It is a remarkable thing to watch. But on the issue of China, that's what we're going to talk about today, because these, of course, talks with China are very crucial, because China is beefing up its military. They're getting increasingly more hostile to the United States. And these tariffs, by the way, are actually hurting their economy greatly. And so if President Trump raises them by another 100%, that will not be good. And, of course, Americans are going to feel it at home, too, because Chinese goods, we depend on them more than we should, I might add. I would just say in general, as a commentary here from me, we need to wean ourselves off of Chinese goods, and we need to be prepared to pay more. Have you ever been to Canada? You know, Canada is a real protectionist country. They want to make sure things are made in Canada, that they don't have free trade, or they don't have the same kind of free trade that we do. They never give other countries an advantage. They're very, very Canada first. And in that sense, I don't mind. That's why, but food is very expensive. Clothing's very expensive. So if we, batten down the hatches and start pressing America first, it will mean that things will cost more. But I know some of you are in struggle, but I think a lot of you are doing fine. And we could buy less, couldn't we? Could we could have less, right? We don't have to have all the things that we have. I'll speak for myself. So just be prepared for that. I think it would be good for America if we shut down things and maybe had less and had to pay more for good things. But that's really... Now, ask me again in 6 months if that happens, if I like it. I won't like it. But I do think it's necessary in order to reestablish the strength of this country. Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. And I always appreciate you listening. It's just an honor and a privilege. And we want to give you the best possible podcasts and shows that we possibly can. We spend a lot of time trying to get these ready and trying to make sure that we have the very best information. And so if you're enjoying the podcast, I hope you'll share it with others. Sandy Rios 24/7, because it's always good to get the information out to as many people as possible. I am amazed, if you look on Facebook and you follow what people say, like about the No Kings rally or whatever's happening in the world, and you scratch your head and say to yourself, how in the world, why do they say these things? How can they feel that way? It's because most Americans don't really know what's true. Many of us do because we listen to good sources, but my recommendation for all of us is to listen to other sources of news. Even hold your nose and listen to MSNBC and CNN sometimes. because you'll get their perspective and you'll get things certainly said in a way that you're not accustomed to it. And you'll probably think, well, that's not right. Well, then maybe it isn't right. But are you able to state the case? Then go to Newsmax. I think Newsmax is the best source right now. I'm you know, doing and contributing for them as a, but I just think one of the reasons I'm doing that is because there are some great hosts at Fox that I still love. And I, but I think basically their news department is not good. It's very liberal. Their polling is very liberal. That's and not trustworthy. It's because their news department holds handles it. And because their CEO is not a friend to conservatives. So just be careful. Some hosts are trustworthy. Others are not. That's why I say Newsmax is the best source. So for all of you, I think you should be listening to different sources, even those of you that are conservative, just to see what's being said. And then test your knowledge. How would you counter what's being said on CNN or MSNBC? Do you know enough to actually make an argument? And I would suggest that you make yourself an expert, and that includes liberals as well. Listen to Newsmax and see if you can make yourself an expert. It might surprise you. It might open up your mind a little bit. Well, if you enjoy the show and if you enjoy what we're doing, you can call us and leave a message at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr, that old-fashioned email that all of us still do. You can listen to the show on any podcast platform. Just pick whatever one you like. If it's Apple or Spotify or Amazon or some others, I don't even know what there's one. There's like Peapod or something. Well, anyway, we're there. So just look for us on social media also, because we're on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Truth Social, Telegram, YouTube. And we don't do the show by video. That's my fault. I've just never chosen to do that. I just don't like to do that. And so there, you're just stuck with my voice and the voices of my guests. And last but not least, of course, our home base is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net. We are a part of American Family Radio, American Family Association. I work for them as their senior policy advisor, and the podcast is sponsored by them. It's just on other platforms also. Okay, so there you go. In a minute, we're going to talk about China and talk to one of my favorite experts, that's Gordon Chang. But first, we're living in a time when lies are easy and truth is very costly. And nowhere is that more devastating than in the battle for life. That's exactly what Natalia faced. Her first reaction to her pregnancy was abortion, because that's the lie she'd been told. But once she heard the heartbeat of her child, she knew that God wanted her to have a baby and that all things would be possible through him. Natalia chose life and was provided with the love, support, and the resources that she needed. At Preborn Network clinics, this happens an average of 200 times a day all over this country because of the support from people like you. Moms come in who are overwhelmed and pressured, and they suddenly see their child, hear the truth, and realize they're not alone in this, and they can keep the baby or adopt it out and without having to abort it. That is the truth. Well, the moment of truth costs just $28, that particular moment of truth, when women see their babies in ultrasound. It's $28 just to provide one. And I know that many of you are sponsors of Preborn already regularly. I want to thank you for that, really and truly, from the bottom of my heart. And it just means a lot, because I know where your heart is, and it honors me that you would listen and that you would respond. And it honors me also to think that I have such listeners who care so much they would actually give their money to a cause like Preborn. You can trust your money with Preborn, and you know it's well spent. $28 for one ultrasound. If you would like to join the team, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is a good podcast, and we get a lot of just great information about China from Gordon Chang. And this stuff affects all of us. We know, I think you know, I think all of you that listen to me know that China poses probably the greatest threat to us, militarily and otherwise. They have infiltrated our social media. They are very successfully persuading our children, our teenagers, our college students to believe things they would not ordinarily believe. They are in an active warfare against us, getting fentanyl into the country. And so President Trump's trying to deal with all of this, and he'll be talking with you about this this Thursday. So I hope you'll stay tuned for this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
A possible breakthrough on U.S. trade relations with China. Today, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the U.S. has reached a substantial framework of a trade deal with China, which would avoid the U.S. imposing an additional 100% tariff on Chinese imports. The development comes as President Trump is in the midst of a five-day high-stakes diplomatic trip to Asia aimed at easing trade tensions with Beijing. Bessent says the framework agreement sets the stage for Trump's meeting on Thursday with Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
I think we've reached a substantial framework for the two leaders who will meet in Korea next Thursday. So, on the table, the president had given me maximum leverage when he threatened 100% tariffs if the Chinese imposed their rare earth global export controls. So I think we have averted that, so that the tariffs will be averted.
All right, Sandy Rios with you and China. We're going to talk about China, China, China. I wish I could imitate President Trump, but I can't. But China is ever shifting. It's ever serious. And there's no one I'd rather talk to about this than Gordon Chang. I don't think I ever say that Gordon was an accomplished, very achieving attorney, graduated from Cornell Law School, spent two decades in China, and also then worked for some major American law firms while he was there. But he is a China expert. He's the author of the most recent book. It's called Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. And also earlier than that, The Coming Collapse of China. And there are many more books, but those are the last two that I know about. I think they're the last two. And so, Gordon, you're speaking to me from my hometown, Chicago, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning because it's an hour earlier. Thank you, Gordon.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sandy. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, here's the thing. The situation in China is so fluid. To me, it's just amazing. And I don't even know how you keep up on it. I always find it fascinating. I'm a layperson on this, but I don't know how you keep it straight. So let's talk about this first thing, economic issues. President Trump is going to be talking about the tariffs with China at the APEC summit in South Korea this week on Thursday. So the speculation initially, he was threatening to increase tariffs by 100%, and now we heard that report from CNN saying that's not going to happen. All right, so the question is, what in the world, this is ever in flux, how have the tariffs affected China so far from your perspective?
Yeah, what the tariffs have done, which are now at about 55% or so on most Chinese goods coming into the United States, is it shut out a number of products, and those products have been sold to other markets around the world, because China right now has never been more export-dependent in its history. It needs to sell products, and although it's been able to keep export volumes up, the margins that Chinese exporters earn has declined significantly. The tariffs have been hurting China quite substantially, especially because right now China is at a point where its economy internally is failing. And we see this from the price data, deflation. So they need to export their excess capacity around the world, and Trump is making it more difficult for them to do that.
You know, I always think about the Chinese people, Gordon, because, you know, they're the ones who are going to suffer because Xi is a top-down ruler. He's a ruthless ruler. And I want to talk about his situation in China in a second. But do you have any idea what the people inside China are, how this is affecting them?
Well, the tariffs have affected people inside China, but more important, it's been the Communist Party policies. And we know that they have been affected adversely by a couple things. First of all, there is a downturn. I don't think China was growing at the 4.8% pace that they reported for the third quarter of this year. It's probably closer to zero, maybe a little bit above, maybe a little bit below, but somewhere around zero. And that is not because of tariffs. This is because of structural decisions that the Communist Party has made. It has an economy which overproduces. It also directs fewer resources to people. So consumption accounts for a very low percentage of the Chinese economy, somewhere about 38 or 39%. It's around the lowest in the world, and it's getting lower. Because Xi Jinping has been stressing industrial production. So, yes, the tariffs hurt, but they only hurt because Xi Jinping has an economy which is just dependent on exporting to elsewhere, and that's not good for the Chinese people.
Well, I think before I talk more about the talks, I really want to go to the issue of Xi Jinping, because you tweeted just a few days ago that you think he's lost control of the military. And others are reporting that he's going to be removed from his position. But I think the world just doesn't know. He's meeting with President Trump on Thursday. So explain from your perspective what this all means.
Well, this month, the Ministry of National Defense issued an extraordinary announcement that 9 most senior flag officers had been investigated and removed. Now, almost all of the removed officers were Xi Jinping loyalists. We can't identify any Xi Jinping adversary that has been among the group that's been canned. We know that the most senior uniformed officer, General Zhang Youshao, is a Xi Jinping adversary. And it seems like he is now in control of the military, which means that Xi Jinping is not. Now, things are murky in Xi Jinping's China because he's closed the country off. So we're doing a lot more speculating than we'd like. Yeah. But from all that we can tell, Xi Jinping has lost influence in the Chinese military and probably lost control of the institution itself.
I think I told you that I have like a Chinese friend here where I live who has a mother who still is in China. And she actually tells me some information. And she said, this has been probably 6 months ago, she was telling me how unpopular Xi is, how they hate him. And I think I believe, sometimes it's a language barrier, but I believe what she was telling me is certainly the shutdowns, the no tolerance policy or whatever they called it on COVID, where masses of people died in the most horrible ways and could not get medicine, was kind of a major catalyst for this. Would you agree with what she says?
Yeah, the COVID lockdowns, which were the strictest in the world outside of North Korea's, did change popular opinion in China. I mean, people were welded into their apartments. People actually died in their apartments in fires because the firemen couldn't get to them. And so this really has been, I think, a turning point in the way people viewed the Communist Party. It's very sullen. Now, they often can't do anything about it, but we saw in October 2022 a series of extraordinary protests throughout China. It started with the COVID lockdowns as the cause, but then it sort of migrated to a lot of other things, and people were actually demanding that Xi Jinping step down. So those protests lasted for about 2.5-3 months, and it covered just so many grievances, which shows you the Chinese people are unhappy and how volatile Chinese society can be.
To my knowledge, Gordon, I haven't heard of an uprising from the Chinese since the Tiananmen Square demonstrations. I mean, is that typical? And we just don't hear about it? It just seems like they're so locked down. They don't, they don't exactly go out and protest like, the No Kings rally. They don't do that. So am I wrong, or maybe they do and I just don't know it?
Well, there are protests throughout China all the time. They're not reported, but we get word of some of them. And as I mentioned, when you have a series of protests, as we did at the end of 2022, word does get out and it is reported. But yes, the Chinese people are on continual lockdown, one can say, because the regime maintains one of the most strictest and severe social control mechanisms anywhere. And people, when they get a chance to protest, when they lose their fear, when they gain some hope, they will take to the streets.
Well, and I think we also, you know, when I, with the times that I've been in China, they were experiencing, you know, not as much openness as Russia, but they had a taste of the West and a taste of freedom and a taste of capitalism. And she kind of clamped down on that. And people don't forget that. I think the people in Iran who had the same situation, the people in Russia now have tasted openness and freedom, and Venezuela as well. Anyway, it doesn't work. People have memories, and it's really hard to tap them down once they have tasted freedom. Now, you speculated in your tweet, or your ex, what do we call this? Your ex writing a few days ago that you think, and you said you're speculating, that Xi will stay as a figurehead, but not really be ousted. It seems to me this meeting with President Trump on Thursday would kind of confirm your theory. So what are your thoughts today? As I said, it's ever-changing.
It is ever-changing. Xi Jinping was able to do something that many China watchers thought he could not do, and that is to survive the fourth plenum of the Communist Party, which ended last Thursday. We just don't know how he's going to navigate the future. Because remember, he's got near total accountability. Because he grabbed power from everybody else, it means he's got nobody else to blame. And his policies are being blamed for deepening China's severe problems. So people are upset at him at the top of the Communist Party. And that's why he has been challenged. And there are some other reasons why the senior officials don't want him. But he's a very powerful figure, and he's very willful. And he has been able to stay on longer than some China watchers thought he could. So I think he will remain as a figurehead, but I don't think he will have the same power that he did in the past, largely because he's failed on some very critical tasks.
You know, when I was first covering China back on the radio in Chicago in the early 2000s, the Chinese okay, so my understanding, because I used to talk to Bill Gertz a lot. He was my resident expert. And so the Chinese people and the Chinese government seemed to be pretty lax comparatively with the Chinese people, and we had more openness, as we all know, for the reasons we all know about Nixon. But the military continued their plans, really, they had long-term plans to take over the United States even then, as I understand it. Okay, so now you just said that someone else is in charge of the Chinese military. Does that reflect a shift in those plans? Because Xi was all in on that. Do you think that would be the successor would be less inclined or more inclined to be harder or less hard on destroying America?
I think that the Communist Party inherently is anti-American and believes that it cannot coexist with us. But we know that throughout periods, the party sort of goes back to a reformist bent, because they realize that they need to do that in order to survive. So after Mao Zedong, for instance, we had the reform and opening up period, which lasted between 3 and 4 decades, began in 1978 and ended under Xi Jinping's rule. I think that we will see a more reformist China for at least a little while, but then it will go back to a Xi Jinping-like figure, because the Communist Party idealizes domination, struggle, and violence. And so it needs a strong man. And in those periods where it hasn't had a strong man, so for instance, during the reform era that I just mentioned, the party naturally gravitates back to a dictatorial type figure. So it went from Mao Zedong to Deng Xiaoping, who was a strong man, but who realized that China needed to open up. Then you had weak leaders, Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao. And after these weak leaders, the party went back to a strong man, Xi Jinping. So we see these cycles, and these cycles will continue.
I was just reading some commentary by a man named Frank Miller. He was with the Defense Intelligence Agency. So he's waxing eloquent from his perspective on how he would advise President Trump on these meetings. And I just wanted to run a couple of things he said by you. He said if he had Trump's ear, he would warn President Trump not to try to force the Chinese Communist Party chief on issues such as trade, tariffs, and Taiwan. That would be his advice. What would be? Would you agree with that advice?
I can understand what he's saying because right now is a very unsettled period. But there are things that we have to do. So, for instance, we cannot allow the Chinese to continue to decimate our economy. And, you know, whatever one thinks of President Trump's tariffs, he was the first American president to start to take defensive measures to protect us against China's predatory and criminal trade practices. We actually had to do that. Fentanyl. We can't allow China to kill tens of thousands of Americans a year with fentanyl. And yet we've had President Biden just couldn't care less from all we could tell. You know, and thank God President Trump has put on the additional 20% tariff on fentanyl, but that's not nearly enough, and he needs to do far more. So you can run down the issues. We need to deter China from taking Taiwan. I think that Taiwan is probably not the number one target for China right now, and that's a long conversation. But the point is we need to deter China. So, yes, I can understand the impulse to not confront China, but we've had a policy of not confronting China for decades, and it's led us to this really dangerous situation. So we need to do something different. And, you know, Bill Gertz believes we've got to do something different. He's great on China. And so, yeah, we have to do something we don't want to do. You know, we Americans, we look at this and we say, oh, you know, if we confront China, that's dangerous. Well, yeah, hell, it is dangerous. It's exceedingly dangerous. But there are no risk-free options anymore. And one of the worst ways to get into one of the easiest ways to get into a war is to continue with policies that have created this dangerous situation. So we've been backed into a corner. And yes, war could occur. But don't blame the president who's there at the time the war starts. You got to blame a series of presidents that go back to George H.W. Bush and go all the way through President Biden.
Totally. I totally agree. Well, we all know, I think those of us that are called hawks recognize that you cannot appease bullies. And China is a would-be, they would like to rule the world. They like to rule the United States. And if you, as you've explained it to me, so thoroughly, so many times, they have their eye on our land and all of our resources, and they want to conquer us in a different way, not by atom bombs, but by internal ways of destruction, which I might, hopefully we'll get to that. But I, all right, so this parade that they did, was a month ago or so, 6 weeks ago maybe,
December
they had
parade.
This huge military parade. Some believe that that was the beginning of Beijing's hardline policies toward the U.S. The beginning? I thought they had had hardline policies for some time. But do you think that that's true? And how would that change what they've been doing so far?
Yeah, September 3 was not the beginning by any means. September 3 was just a demonstration of their military might. But we got to remember that Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese military strategist, one of the most important things he ever said was, when weak, appear strong. And that's what China's doing right now. China right now, despite all the appearances and despite some of the successes it has had, is now very weak. And because of that, I think Xi Jinping could be seeing a closing window of opportunity, and he very well may lash out. So this is a consequential moment. And we just to put this into context, we have wars in Ukraine. We have insurgencies in North Africa that look like wars. We had the war against Israel. And then there's all sorts of these conflicts in South Asia right now. And the world is on a point where war could spread. And one more war means we in a basically a global conflict.
Boy, that's for sure. But I think every people that pay attention know that it's like a powder keg right now, really, in every way, and really internationally. In social issues, on military issues, it is like a powder keg. But I think we can't avoid that. And I think President Trump, from my perspective, Gordon, is right to saber-rattle on 100% more, 100% increase in tariffs, because that would be devastating. And I think it's real. I personally, correct me if I'm wrong, think it's very good for him to show himself the strong man that he is against China. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't have a better outcome than being weak like Biden and Obama and Clinton? And let's go back, you know, to all of them. Isn't that better? Or no?
You know, George H.W. Bush is the villain who set the policy. And yes, Clinton was bad, but he was just following in the footsteps of his predecessor. George W. Bush wasn't much better. And then, of course, Obama and Biden. This is bipartisan failure, Sandy. And some of the weakest American presidents toward China haven't been Democrats. They've been Republicans. So this is a failure across the board. And the American people just need to demand of their leaders and their officials that they start defending the United States with the vigor and determination that is necessary.
Yeah. Well, I think that we're seeing that happen, thank God. There's a lot of saber-rattling with our military, and that kind of is a salve, a great relief to see America's courage come back. We only have a couple of minutes left, and this maybe sounds like a silly thing to ask you, but I do want to know what you thought about Xi and Putin's hot mic moment when they were talking about technical ways, scientific ways to live forever. What did you think about that moment?
It was grotesque because we know that China has been organ harvesting. It's been killing people for their organs. You know, some people believe that they've actually been growing humans to get organs. I don't know if that's true, but we do know that it's a murderous program. And I believe that the United States should outlaw Americans getting organs in China because that is fueling this murderous campaign. And that's what they were talking about, organs that would keep Chinese leaders and Russian leaders alive till the age of 150. So these guys weren't kidding.
No, they weren't kidding. No, they weren't kidding. All right, what is the last question? What do you think is the most optimal outcome of this meeting with Xi Jinping and the president on Thursday?
Well, the most optimal outcome would be keeping the 100% tariffs on until China actually fulfills its promises. We have a series of presidents who have made substantial and substantive concessions for China making mere promises, which it is later dishonored. I think what President Trump is trying to do is buy some time for us to be able to develop rare earths, eliminate our vulnerabilities to China. So this is a point where we have made ourselves vulnerable, and Trump is trying to get us into a stronger position.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, Gordon, it's always, always a pleasure. At GordonChang.com is where you can find Gordon and his writing. Is there a Twitter handle you'd want to give, or is that on GordonChang.com?
Yeah. No, it's at GordonChang, where I post on China and related issues all the time.
Okay, Gordon G. Chang. Okay, Gordon, God bless you, and hope to see you and Lydia soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. All right. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, abortion continues to rise in this country. And as a result of that, preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a bigger way. In other words, spend more money to save more babies. Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 would place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. Wouldn't it be something to be able to buy an entire machine? I know that some of you probably could do that. And so $15,000, you know, to people who don't have much money, that sounds just overwhelming. But some people don't think anything about writing out $100,000 checks or $500,000 checks. I don't know how many of you listening to me are in that category, but I am inviting you to consider a $15,000 check to buy an ultrasound machine. You know, I don't know. I haven't asked them this, but maybe preborn would even let you know where it goes. Maybe you could even have something to do about where it goes. I shouldn't promise that, but I'm not promising that. I'm just saying maybe. All right. So all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And maybe give that $15,000 to buy that ultrasound machine. And I want to thank you for that in advance for your generosity.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A Navy fighter jet and a helicopter crashed in the South China Sea in separate incidents. These photos show the type of aircraft that crashed, not the ones that actually crashed. According to the U.S. Pacific Fleet, one was a Seahawk helicopter that crashed around 2:45 this afternoon Chicago time. 30 minutes later, a Super Hornet fighter crashed. Crew members from both aircraft were safely rescued. The crashes are under investigation tonight.
All right. Isn't that weird? I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Gordon, by the way. I always love talking to him. You know, his wife, Lydia, is from Hong Kong. And so when Hong Kong was in an uproar, she was a great source of information. Plus, she was just brokenhearted over what was happening to her Hong Kong. And now they're just gone from us, really. They're shut off, swallowed up into, even though it's an island just across from the mainland of China, I've been there several times. Hong Kong was just a different place because it was free and open, lots of banking, lots of shopping, just happy people, you know, enjoying capitalism and freedom. There were a lot of good churches. No more. It's been swallowed up by the Chinese mainland, and so that's just the way it is. That's what they have done, and that's what they would do to the world. That's what they would do to the U.S. if they had their way. Okay, this story. Isn't that interesting? I just find the whole thought that this might be something innocuous is hard for me to embrace. We don't know anything about what caused it. I heard President Trump say something about it might have been bad fuel. Well, he knows everything, so he might be right about that. But that we would lose in South China Sea, you know, that close together, 2:45 and 3:15, a fighter jet and a Seahawk helicopter? I just don't get that. I really don't get that. And so I'm sure there'll be a lot of investigations. I think Pete Hegseth will be all over this. And just thank God the guys that were flying at the crew, the pilots were rescued. And I'm so grateful. We've had so many accidents with military planes. I guess the equipment is not since Pete has been Secretary of War, but under the Biden administration, do you remember? And in the Obama administration, there were just lots of accidents, training accidents, people being killed. I just made me furious, to be honest with you. I was wondering, what in the world's going on? What in the world? And I know that they didn't have, when parts were missing from planes, when they got old, they couldn't find the parts. It's just ridiculous. And of course, Obama and Biden didn't care. And neither did Clinton about the military. In fact, Clinton was quoted as saying he loathed the military. He loathed, L-O-A-T-H-E-D, in case you haven't used that word, loathed the military. That means hated. So I'm sure Pete will get to the bottom of this, and we'll all be eager to find out what in the world happened in the China Sea. One more thing, and this is actually a very big topic, but I'm just going to condense it as best I can. It's really out of my league in terms of comprehension. I need to actually interview someone on this. But this was a post by a guy named Dan Linnaeus, L-I-N-N-A-E-U-S, A-E-U-S. Dan could be just, well, Linnaeus, I would think. And it was recommended to me by someone who's savvy on national security. And so I'm just going to give you an idea. This is a strategy, the People's Liberation Army strategy of their warfare doctrine. Okay, you ready for that? I'm not going to read all this stuff. It's too hard. But it's a complete English translation of an article by the People's Liberation Army's Ideological and Theoretical Front Journal. And it was just released. I'm sure they didn't release it. But Dan Linnaeus has posted it. Just go to at Dan Linnaeus if this is something that interests you, because it might interest a lot of you. Because it has to do with social media, infiltration, persuading people's minds. Maybe I won't get into all of this because it would be just kind of, let's just say they have it all thought out. You know, they are controlling their people because they have cameras everywhere. They surveil all their social media. If they see someone even, you know, setting their foot on a line in an intersection where you're not supposed to be crossing, they'll post their pictures up on billboards or on these electronic screens where you see their picture, and they shame them. They don't just find them, they shame them. It's they really are controlling their people in amazing ways, and that's what they want to do to us. And evidently, they've been very successful. They capture all of our information. Let me read this to you, see if you can figure out what this means. Weaponize cognitive vulnerabilities. So they want to weaponize the way you think and the vulnerabilities in how we teach, how we learn, and that's exactly what they're doing. So they have a meme propagation, algorithmic manipulation, and echo chambers to disrupt enemy decision-making, to foster cognitive biases. In other words, maybe something like hate Israel, maybe that would be a cognitive bias from college students and young people. Maybe it would be that, you know, transgenderism is the best thing since sliced bread. Maybe they've managed to foster that cognitive bias. I have it under good authority that they actually have. That's what they've been doing. They want to achieve dominance without direct combat. So there's just a lot more to that article, and I'm going to save it. Maybe I will call on someone to explain all of that to us, because I think we need to understand it. They also create echo chambers so that people who actually are using TikTok or whatever they're using that China is monitoring, and I think they're actually monitoring all of us. They're getting all of our information because we seem to willingly give it to them, and they have ways of finding it, and so they're monitoring everybody. But TikTok, I think, is one of their favorites, and they're controlling what people are thinking. It's just amazing, but it's actually happening and it's actually working. So, well, that's enough about China's nefariousness today. We should be all watching, though, the meeting with Xi on Thursday in South Korea, because it's very important. They truly are our greatest enemy on the planet. And to me, it's good news that Xi is weakened and that China is struggling. That's good for us right now, and I'll take it. And so, and one more thing before I say goodbye to you, remember Preborn. Remember them. They do such great work. And they sponsor this show. And I just think it's a match made in heaven, literally, by someone who cares so much about life and about the women who get pregnant and are in crisis. That's me. And Preborn, an organization who feels the same way. That's them. And so we work together, and you work together by supporting them. So $28 provides one ultrasound, and remember, the other way to give is $15,000 to buy an ultrasound machine, which would go somewhere in some clinic around this country and actually be the tool that helps these girls see their babies in utero. If you can give that $15,000, or you can give $28 or any amount for that matter, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.